Well, good morning again. That was some powerful worship, right? Oh, man. Our Bible reading for today is going to be from Ephesians chapter 4. So I'm going to pray in a second. And if you want to get there in your Bible, in your physical Bible, I would just encourage you to do so. And if you ever need a Bible, just know that we have them in the back at the Connection Center for free. And could I just encourage you for a second to start bringing your Bible here on Sunday mornings and carrying it with you? Now, we are always going to have the verses on the screen, but if you're anything like me, I love to take notes. It helps me to remember, and it is okay. I give you permission, okay, to make notes in your Bible. So with that, let's pray before we read Ephesians chapter 4, and if you want to get there in your Bible, you can do so as I pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, this time, for your word. Lord, we just pray that as we explore it today, you would just speak to us. We lay everything at your feet, maybe our troubles, our burdens, and we just ask, Lord, that you would speak through your Holy Spirit to ours, to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, I think it's safe to say, okay, that no matter our age, we all turn our heads when we see a really expensive or maybe a unique car. A couple summers ago, I got to ride around Springville in this. It's my buddy's 2021 Vanderhall Venice. And I got to tell you, it turned some heads. And you know what? Many kids watch YouTube videos from YouTubers who often have more money than they know what to do with, right? And oftentimes these YouTubers, they purchase maybe expensive cars simply because they can, which isn't really a space that we often find ourselves in, right? So with that said, there's this bit of awe, right? There's this bit of wonder for many of us when we see something unattainable drive by. Now, after some brief research, I thought it would be a little bit fun this morning to share with you the three most expensive cars out there right now. Cars that if you had the money, you could purchase. The third most expensive car is the Pagani, Zonda. That one, that'll only cost you a cool $17.6 million. That's it. Next we have, and I hope I pronounced this one somewhat correctly, but next we have the Bugatti La Voiture Noire. That one looks fast, I bet, right? But that one will cost you $18.7 million. And they only made one of those. which leaves us with the most expensive car on the market today, and that is the Rolls-Royce Boat Tail. That one, a $28 million price tag. Now, as you can see from the picture, you can have a picnic in the back, right, apparently. But maybe, I don't know, after paying that, maybe all you could afford was PBJs and bologna sandwiches. I don't know. And there were only three of that car made, by the way. Now, I ask you, what makes these cars so valuable? Well, as I thought about this, I think it's a couple things, really. First of all, they are literally, okay, well-oiled machines. Machines with every individual part seamlessly working together as what? As one, right? And then second, what makes them valuable is the name brand, right? And the reputation behind that name. That gives them their worth. Now, the reason I bring all this up will be obvious soon as we continue in our series today called It's Time to Grow Up. Now, again, young kids in here, I do have some mini Lego cars that each one of you will get, so listen into the message, okay? And then one of you is going to actually win a larger scale model. We're going to do that later in the service, okay? But anyways, this series that we've been in, this series called It's Time to Grow Up, where we have been looking at the book of Ephesians chapter by chapter. Well, up to this point, we have largely reviewed what we believe as Christians. We've looked at what we believe as Christians and why we believe it, our theology in many ways. Now, another fun term for this is orthodoxy. What Christ has done and all that we have in him, all that is available to us in him, that is called our orthodoxy. But today we shift gears, no pun intended, speaking of cars, but we shift gears to what is called orthopraxy. Our orthopraxy as believers, that is how we live out what we believe. Now, I've already read our passage for today, but right now what I want to do is we're gonna read it, we're going to study it one part at a time, and we're going to start with verse 1 of chapter 4. God's word says this, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then," writes Paul, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." How do we live such a life, Paul? Well, he writes, "Be completely humble. Be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love." Now, as we read these opening verses of chapter 4, we are reminded that Paul is writing while he is under house arrest in Rome, okay? Now, he is still able to have visitors. He's still able to write letters. And this letter, though written directly to the believers in the city of Ephesus and intended for them, it was also intended to be circulated around to several churches, to several cities. And again, it is in this chapter that God has Paul transition. He has him transition from teaching about who we are in Christ to how we should live out our lives in and for Christ. Again, from orthodoxy to now orthopraxy, the practice of things. And with that said, you know, we got to think about this. You and I, we go to school, right, to learn. We go to school to learn. We go to school to be informed, but you got to agree with me. All of that knowledge is meaningless if we don't actually put it into practice, which again is where Paul is moving us now in this book of Ephesians. And so in that, he says, live a life worthy, right? A life worthy of the calling that you have received in Christ. In other words, he is reminding us that because of who we are in Christ Jesus, that we can and that we should be living differently than the world. And in that big picture, Paul was reminding them, and Paul is reminding us today, his readers, he's reminding us that our identity is in Jesus Christ. And from there, he begins by instructing us, again, the readers, to be what? We read it. He's instructing us to be humble. He's instructing us to be gentle. He's instructing us to be patient. He's instructing us to be loving toward one another in the body of Christ, which leads right into how we should be interacting with each other, which is where Paul is writing and where he starts to get to. And this is where it gets really interesting. And here's what I mean. Listen again to what Paul says in verses 3-6. He says this: make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So as our identity is now in Jesus, or because of it, this says that we are all united. All believers are united as one, all united as one, under one. In other words, we become something, and that something is the body of Christ. We become the church. That is what we become. And that is what we are being built into. For there is no one else. There is no one else to place our faith in. And no one else to offer us true hope. No one else to help us with the best and the truest direction. No power, no government that rules over us other than that of Christ Jesus. Thus, what we see in these verses is that because of our identity in Christ, we are now unified, church. Unified in that. Unified under his lordship. And then what Paul does is he goes on to explain in verses 7-9 that all of this is made possible. Our ability to unify for God's cause, it is all made possible and only made possible because Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to earth and he defeated death and he ascended back to heaven. For without the ministry and the reconciliation of Jesus Christ himself, we would all still be divided by sin and ultimately separated from God the Father. And even today, let's be honest, okay? Even today, let's be real. As we look around, we can see the evidence, right? We can see the evidence of that sin. And that is still clearly here in our midst today. And this sin, do you know what? It still has the ability. This sin, it still has the potential to divide. So in a world, your and my world, our world, in which sin still exists, how are we, the church, how are we to remain in unity with one another? Well, interestingly enough, it is because of this. Because of our identity in Christ Jesus, our unity is lived out, and it is actually made possible by our diversity. I want you to take that in again, because that's a tricky concept. We'll break it down. But it is because of our identity in Jesus, our unity is lived out. It is lived out and it is made possible as believers in Christ by actually our diversity. You see, Paul states something in verse 8. And he's actually, when he states this, he's quoting from Psalm 68, verse 18. And he says this, that when he, Christ, ascended on high, he took many captives. And what did he do? He gave gifts. That's what Paul writes under the inspiration of God. He gave gifts to his people. Huh. So church, Jesus left us. He left us, you and I and all, with individual. He left you and I and all with individual and unique gifts that he expects us to use for the glory of God. Now it's important to note that and to understand that unity, it does not mean uniformity. We are not all expected, nor should we be identical. Once again, our unity is lived out. Our unity is made possible by this thing called our diversity in the family of believers. It is made possible by that diversity, by the beauty of it, by the power of it. I mean, let's go back for a second to our car analogy. Let's go back to that to help us understand this. I have a question for you, okay? How many parts, on average, per my quick Google search, mind you, so it might not be so technical, but how many parts, on average, do you think there are found in a car? Who's got a guess? Raise your hand. Yeah. Okay, a little high. How many parts? Yeah. No, it is actually 30,000, okay? There are about 30,000 individual parts in a car. Now, with that said, imagine if every part of an automobile was the same. I mean, imagine having a beautifully handcrafted steering wheel, like maybe from the Rolls Royce. Imagine having that part, but nothing else. Or imagine having just a bunch of steering wheels, like even really nice ones even. But that's it. Pretty pointless, right? Think of how just even two completely different pieces work seamlessly together to make a part of a car function. Think about that. Now think of 30,000 of them doing that. That's kind of impressive, right? That kind of blows my mind. And each part, no matter how small, mind you, and each part, no matter how large, mind you, or how seemingly insignificant, each and every part serves a purpose, doesn't it? Each and every part is important, isn't it? Now let's bring this back to our passage. Listen, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you have been given a gift in Christ Jesus. If you've accepted him, you have been given a gift. You have been given an ability to use within the church, within the body of Christ. And Paul describes a few of these gifts in verses 11 to 13. Let's read it. He says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ might be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Now, many times people look at these gifts that we just read about and they associate them as simply leadership roles that should be reserved for like those in formal ministry. We look at those things mentioned here and we conclude, let's just leave that to Keith. Let's leave all that to Keith, right? But isn't this series, I got a question for you. Isn't this series about growing up? So maybe at some point in your journey, you should be open to the possibility that you will become a pastor or that you will become a teacher or at some point more than you are now, maybe you will increasingly be sharing Christ with people. An evangelist, in other words. You should be increasing in that. I should be increasing in that. And I've got a news flash for you. I wasn't born, okay? I wasn't born and immediately became a pastor. I grew into that. And yes, I do have to tell you, I believe that I have a special calling for it. Because the word says that God does that, but others in here may have that calling too, today or someday. Do you know where JP is today? He is preaching at the Presbyterian Church today. When we talk about the unity in the body of Christ, they had a need. They reached out here, and we said, yes, we've got somebody for you. Maybe you have that calling too someday. I don't know. And yes, you need to discern such a calling, but just as dangerously, okay? Don't ever say you never will. Don't ever say you never could. What I am saying is yes, Paul, he does add value to these leadership positions within the body, within the church. And yes, they are essential. Any good leadership team should ideally have a mix of these gifts that we just talked about. But, mind you, these gifts are not all that is necessary to remain in unity. Because Paul states that these leadership roles, they should be what? Did you see it? They should be equipping the people. You're the people. They should be equipping the people, which includes everyone in here. They should be equipping the people for the works of service. I mean, back to our car analogy. Just like these high-end car companies, they have presidents, right? They have CEOs, they have marketing directors, they have engineers. They need everyone, though. They need everyone employed in that company to contribute, don't they? In even what seems to be the smallest of ways. Well, the body of Christ, the church, is the same way, okay? And so even though we have pastors and evangelists, we still need everyone in the room. We need everyone in the room contributing with their individual gifts, with their individual abilities, with their individual time to allow for a healthy, functioning, growing body with Jesus Christ as the head. And you know what else? Paul's not done. Something remarkable happens. Something remarkable happens as we continue to work together, coming to a place in which our differences no longer divide us, but actually unify us. For in that, we will see ourselves grow, grow in our maturity and in our faith. Let me show you what I mean. Look at how Paul concludes this passage, verse 14 to 16. Then, okay, and the then is, as we participate, okay, in his growing up of us through our utilizing our gifts to work together, then we will what? We will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind and teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. How? As each part does its work. So we have to conclude with a question. Are you doing the work? Are you playing the part that he has for you and that he needs for you in the kingdom of God, here at Revive Wesley in the Springville Crossing campus? Or are you still on the sidelines? Or too much maybe on the sidelines? Are you still maybe filling a role? Well, he is calling you to maybe a different or an additional role or a higher role even. Let's talk about that, okay? Together, and let me remind you, not to earn anything from Christ. Not to earn anything. Christ has done it all, okay? Grace, remember our first couple chapters, a free gift. Not to earn anything at all, but the way we live out of that. It's our orthopraxy, it's our practice. And that is partially by serving a and our role within the church. Now, as we consider vehicles again, you know, think of a headlight. If a headlight's broken, or maybe if a seal is missing, or if a bolt or a nut is misplaced or loose, then all sorts of things can happen, right? With a seal, water can get in there, right? And it can destroy the electronics, and then the systems fail, and then safety is compromised, and then the overall efficiency of the car, it's impacted. So in order for those vehicles to be performing at their highest level, everything needs to be working together seamlessly. Well, it's the same for the church. It's the same for the church. For her to be functioning at her highest level, grown and mature and growing, all parts need to be working. How? Working together seamlessly. And with a part on the shelf, that doesn't happen. And a part on the shelf at the end of the day, it's useless. Now that may sound harsh, and I do have a caveat to that, okay? You are maybe hurting. Maybe you're here today, you're hurting, and you need some healing personally. Or maybe you just are here today and you're hurting from your past church experience. Maybe you got burnt out. And thus, maybe you're in a season, where you need to just be. That's totally cool. That's cool. That's needed. But in that season, pursue him. Pursue him and pursue the healing, would you? I've been there. Pursue that for your own good and pursue that for his bride's good so that you can come off that sideline when the time is right. And we should all come to the level of healing where we get into the game. And can I just proclaim, can we proclaim together that none of this, okay, none of it, nothing happens in God's house. Nothing is possible without Jesus because he is the head. For he is the one who has built our, and I really should say his, that's proper. He is the one that has built his metaphorical car called the church. And he is continually holding it together. And he is the one that needs to be driving. And he is the head. And you and I, we are simply invited. We're invited to participate in how Jesus is already working through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I got to tell you something. The church, the enemy of the church, the enemy, Satan, he would love nothing more than to divide us. He would love nothing more than to keep people on the sidelines. He would love nothing more than from seeing people growing the way that God has intended. And any crack in the framework of the church made by you or I, any crack that can allow the enemy to snake his way in. And at the end of the day, we need to protect ourselves. And we can protect ourselves from all of this by understanding that our identity, our first point today, our identity is in Christ. We can cover that by realizing our identity is in Christ. And then by working together, as our scripture tells us today, working together in unity through what? Through our diversity. Through how God has gifted us. If you have called Jesus your Lord and Savior, we have a part to play. One that may seem small, but it's not really. Because none are, church. God wants to see all of us. He wants to see all of us together. Now, as we close, let's go back to what makes those cars so valuable, right? Part of it. Most of it, in fact. Most of what gives those cars their value, the Pagani, the Bugatti, the Rolls Royce, most of what gives them their value is their name, the name behind them. I mean, when someone says Rolls Royce, something comes up in our mind, right? We expect greatness, don't we? We expect luxury. We expect a level of perfection. We'll never forget, okay? Never forget the name above, the name over, the name behind, the name all around, the name in us gives us our value. The name in us, all around us, gives you your value. And values you. And that name is the name of Jesus Christ. And there is no comparison to the value that we find in him. And when the church is functioning as Christ designed it, I gotta tell you what, it is priceless. So what's your part? What's your part? Where can you start? Some needs that we really have here, I'm just being up front. We have some needs for the nursery. We've been seeing more and more babies here and some on the way and more younger families. And we have that nursery room open for mom or dad or whoever to go in there with the baby. But we need to get it staffed. We need to do that to extend hospitality to our younger families. Or you know what? They're gonna quit coming. We need to get that staffed. Also, our kids' ministry. We need help there always, one Sunday a month, that's all. We want to keep those rooms up and open. We have needs in our sound media booth. We have needs on the worship team. Those are just a couple biggies, okay? So if you have interest in those kind of things, nursery, kids, sound, media, worship. Talk to me, okay? Talk to me. And if those don't fit you, same answer. Talk to me. There are other ways to get plugged in. So with that, I want to invite the worship team forward, and I'd love to just pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are the head and I don't have to be. Because, Lord, you've got this thing figured out. Our job is to study your word like we've done today and follow your direction and follow behind you, the head of the church. So, Lord, as we consider today this truth that Jesus has given all of us gifts to be contributed back to you, to the church, to the bride, so that we can all grow and mature, Lord, would we just embrace that? Would we consider that? And would we not think that because I'm a little different, I can't do that? Because our diversity is what's so beautiful in the bride of Christ. So, Lord, help us to really wrestle with that, to step out, to step up, all for your glory. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.